Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Welcome everybody to another episode of Let's Talk Golf. And today's guest, well, we've got a very interesting project on the horizon. So Brendan, do you want to tell us all about that?
Hi, thanks Penny. Thanks for the opportunity. So my name's Brendan Allen and I am the construction manager for a brand new golf course at Oho, just south of Levin. It's called Douglas Links.
Where's that name come from?
That name comes from the owner's family.
Right.
And he has a Scottish heritage. This project is a bit of a tribute to his father and his heritage. And so there's a lot of family ties through this project for him. And he loves Scottish golf especially.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Scottish tie there with the Douglas name as well.
So we're going to get some influences from St Andrews?
I don't know that we'll get too many influences from St Andrews. There's definitely a Scottish thread through the place though, yeah, in terms of the type of golf that you'll be playing and the type of landforms that you'll be seeing.
Having only watched play at St Andrews, I hope it's not those scary bunkers that they have that looks like a Fort Knox wall ahead of you.
Undoubtedly there will be some of those, because golf sometimes is a game for sadists, yeah, as we know. But our vision is much broader than that. It's for very wide, receptive playing corridors. It's to set the game up so that anyone of any ability can play and enjoy it. We're not aiming to set up a championship tournament golf course right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
It will be able to be played at an elite level by those guys, but that's not the purpose of this.
Mm.
The purpose of this is to ground people in the landscape, to give them a golf experience that they don't normally get in New Zealand, a much more traditional one in some ways.
Oh, sounds interesting, because I'm a real newbie to golf, but I love going to different courses, you know, the different landscapes and certainly the different challenges that you get. So will it be an expansive course? It's going to be a links course.
Yeah, so it's a links course. It's going to be wall-to-wall fescue grass, which is traditional links grass, which is very fine and very dense,
mm-hmm,
and very bouncy ultimately as well.
Okay.
So the site's been chosen partially because it's coastal and it's the perfect type of sand for creating firm playing surfaces. So those people in your audience that play at Paraparaumu Beach or Waikanae or Ōtaki or Levin,
mm-hmm,
all up and down this coast, they'll understand how firm it gets and how bouncy it gets in summer,
mm-hmm,
on the areas that aren't succumbing to high rainfall or high water table in winter.
Yeah, right. Mm. And so will it be an 18 holes?
Yes, it's 18 holes with a pretty extensive practice range. There's room for more. The site's,
mm-hmm,
reasonably big,
mm-hmm,
but the site has some large dune corridors that you've got to work through. And the best use of any piece of land is space, mm, effectively. So.
Mm. Yeah. And because I know someone who's recently played at Manor Park, for example, and they said, oh, really long holes. So how would you describe the kind of the consistency of the length of the holes?
So they vary greatly. And that's the beauty of good golf design, is variation, mm-hmm, within that design. So we've got our shortest holes, roughly 110 metres as a par 3, obviously,
mm-hmm,
and the longest par 4 is about 470 metres off the back blocks. But most of the time that's prevailing wind behind you,
mm-hmm,
and it's going to be bouncy. So,
ooh, great. Oh. Yeah. And so when you say about there'll be some practice areas, what will you provide there?
So we're still sort of working through some of that stuff. So there'll be a standard full-length range that's over 300 metres long. It's likely to have target greens in it. There'll be practice bunkers. There'll be an artificial turf area to hit off in winter or when we want to restrict play on the turf for recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a coaching facility as well with some technology in there that's moving so fast.
Mm.
But the TrackMan and other, that sort of technology that allows people to, those who nerd out a little bit about golf stuff and like to know their angle of attack and et cetera, will be,
yes,
able to figure that stuff out as well.
I haven't got that technical, but I do love when you go and hit into those screens and then you get the data and just things that you've never really factored in your thinking. For me, I'm like thinking, wow, you know, ball speed? I didn't know about the ball speed. And then just looking at how you're consistently going straight or consistently going to the right. So will there be that kind of, is that what you mean by the technology that you'll have there?
Yeah, we're trying to keep it as limited as what we can. Mm. It'll be available to be used for special coaching events and things like that, but that what we're trying to put out is a much more traditional approach to golf, which is a game with your friends on a landscape.
Yeah.
You know, you can, I think you can over data golf, and it's a different market than what we're going for.
Mm. Oh, brilliant. And so what about like a clubhouse? What's the situation going to be there?
So the clubhouse is nearing completion of the design. It's been through a few iterations. So it's sitting on the top of a central dune, and it has 360-degree views from that site. So it's very casual in terms of the approach. It won't be a formal place, but it's essentially situated to make the most of the views. So the views from that site are east to the Tararua Ranges. You can see Paraparaumu Beach. You can see Kapiti Island very clearly from an unusual angle that most people don't see.
Oh, yeah, that's some real northern end.
Yeah, and on a nice day like we had last week, you can see Kaikoura Mountains, Duval Island, tip of the South Island, Mount Taranaki, and once the trees come out in some places, certainly from the coastal holes, you can see Ruapehu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massive view from up there.
Oh, wow. So that's going to be – is it sort of like sort of, you know, car parks and kind of obviously all the facilities that you might normally need in terms of bathroom? And then people can have a kind of a 19th hole experience afterwards, or will there be like, what's the setup going to be?
It's a little bit set up like some of the better resort places that you go, the more modern ones around the world. So there's definitely an arrival road that is designed to be hidden. So you'll come along the road to the site and you'll go through some wet swampy farmland and then into big dune country, which will start to excite golfers who know a little bit about dunes. And then the access road will be ultimately through probably a Kānuka forest, but certainly a native forest, and set very low on the property. And then you'll pop up on and out on top of the dune, and the whole landscape of the lower southwest of the North Island will open up in front of you. And you'll arrive to the eastern side of the clubhouse, which is pretty much a solid wall. And so you don't get to see the view, and you'll go through an entrance and to take a slight turn one way, a slight turn the other way, and then look through a wall of glass at the Tasman Sea.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's been designed to cater for all sorts of different people. So, you know, you get couples travelling by themselves who want quiet spaces. So there's quiet spaces in the building. And then there's very much a northern end bar space with an indoor-outdoor bar and, outdoor seating protected from all the prevailing winds, looking across the putting green and first tee and out to sea.
Yeah, because I think, you know, that's the lovely thing about facilities at the golf courses, where you can then sit out and look back onto the hole while you're doing the big debrief, and actually just enjoy the landscape a bit more and recall your where the balls went when they should have gone.
Yeah, well, that's the old joke about golf scorecards. There's not enough room to write how or give a description. You know, you just write the number on. So the clubhouse is a good place for the description after a round of golf about what happened. And the site is being west coast of New Zealand. There are going to be days when the wind is going to howl and it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And then there are going to be other perfect days out there where you're just going to be sitting in the sun embracing what you've just seen.
Oh, gorgeous. So your role, what does that involve?
So it's my role as head of construction is to take the site from what it was a few years ago to the finished product.
So what was the land farming?
The land was farm forested. So it traditionally had been pine forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a decade ago, they were all felled and it was de-stumped. Somebody had the idea of putting chickens out there as a chicken farm, but I think environmentally that might have fallen through.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just been used as grazing, essentially, with regrowth forest. And it had been degraded quite a lot. So lots of lupins, lots of gorse, lots of wattle everywhere.
Right.
Like you see on the stretch of coast in quite a few places, you know, the natural weeds take over.
Oh, yeah.
So we've spent nearly 4 years We have mulched a lot of pine trees and wattle and gorse and scrub and lupins and remulched. And we've watched a lot of native species come back that was not there, that we didn't think was there, that has germinated on those dunescapes as a result of that mulching work.
Oh, wow. So obviously natives that are, you know, good for growing on coastal areas, are they more kind of medium size?
Yeah, so on the interdunal corridors and on the edges of those, there's a fancy.
I suppose you've probably been learning a lot about all that stuff.
Yeah. It's just how I express it. So there's a lot of knobby club rush out there.
Right.
And there's a lot of Muhlenbeckia that's growing out in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the swampy margins close to the Ojo River, there's other flaxes and other swampy type plants. But club rush especially just takes off on that side when you open it up, which is brilliant because the first thing that's going to come back is that.
Yeah.
And it's a native species and it's the right colour palette to fit into that coastal landscape.
And so what about water features or water hazards? What's the kind of makeup of those going to be?
There aren't going to be any internal water features. If you play off the back tees, you will have to hit over the corner of the Ojo River on the 10th hole.
Ooh, goody.
And you get very close to the Ojo River on the 14th hole. And you are running parallel with the coast and the Tasman Sea on 4, 16 and 17. So the water features are there. You'd, other than one shot, you'd be struggling to hit the ball anywhere near the water.
Mm-hmm.
So for most people, water is not an issue at all.
Right. Okay. And so what about kind of, you talk about swampy bits, are there wetlandy bits?
There is a wetland between the property and the Ojo River, or it's a salt marsh really.
Oh, okay.
On the property itself, there are no wetlands. There's one tiny little pocket of Ralpo swamp that was created by a former occupier looking for stock water, I'd suggest, digging a hole and leaving the stuff around the outside. So we've got a 15 metre earthworks block around that area, but the average person would not consider that a wetland. It's a puddle with some Ralpo in it.
You're right.
So there are no wetlands as such out there. What we are intending to do is to to elevate some play corridors to create runoff so that we can build more wetland type, or create wetland planting through some of those areas.
Yeah.
Because there are areas all up and down this coast defined as dune slack, which are farmed because they grow grass even in summer because they're low. We've got a couple of areas like that on site that we will be planting back into natives. I mean, we've got our original restoration plan had about 185,000 native plants in it. So the ecological restoration is a massive part of this project.
Wow. That is a lot of plants. I know that because that's 18 holes, and recently I played at the Morgans and actually ended up talking to Gareth Morgan after the game. And for that 9 holes, he has planted 70,000 plants in there for part of a lot of that kind of wetland restoration area.
Yeah, it's fantastic that people with means are doing these things with no financial gain to be had from it. You know, that's a real love of the landscape and a love of the country to invest millions of dollars in those sort of projects. So
wow. And so I guess, will the hazards be in the dunes? Not in the dunes, rather in the bunkers?
Yeah. The bunkers, they will be hazards, but it's a very cleverly designed layout. So some of your listeners may understand a little bit about history and golf course architecture, I'm not sure, but you know, one of the greats is Dr. Alistair McKenzie, who has designed some of the best courses in the world, you know, the Cypress Points and some of the other amazing venues. And one of the things he talks about with bunkering is you put the bunker where the best player doesn't want it to be. So if you, let's say we're choosing a par 4 hole, the best place to put the bunker is, say, these days, 270, 280 metres off the tee, right in the middle of the fairway.
Right.
And create width around it.
Yeah.
So that means that if you are very long, you might, that's where you're going. You want, your ball will end up if you hit a straight drive. So you want people to make a decision. Do I go short of it? Do I go left of it? Do I go right of it? Do I take the risk and try and hit it over it? So we've got examples of that. And then we've got other examples where the bunkering is well out on the side, naturally tucked into a dune.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about targeting the right person off the right tee,
mm-hmm.
and still leaving corridors and avenues that are pretty easy for people to literally bump the ball along the ground and get past it if they're worried about that.
Mm. I mean, the fun of it is the club choice, isn't it?
Yeah. The fun of it for me in golf is the strategy. I mean, the people and who I play with is really important, but it's the strategy.
Yeah.
Like a lot of golf courses in New Zealand's particularly bad for this, are prescriptive in how you play.
Mm-hmm.
So they tree line fairways.
Yeah.
And you have one shot to play. It's just it's a competition to hit the ball as straight as you can down the center of that corridor. And it doesn't ask you to think about what you're doing. It doesn't ask you to say, where's the risk? If I take a higher risk with my tee shot, I've got a much easier second shot into that green or into that pin. If I take a safer option off the tee, my second shot is much harder because of bunkering on the green side or whatever.
Mm.
So the best golf is strategic golf
and
golf with lots of options, I think.
Sort of moving chess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's not the first move, it's the third move and that I'm you know, working towards. So,
yeah.
Right. And so what about your golf? How did you get a role like this? And you're obviously doing it because you've got a bit of a golf love yourself, but also obviously not just golf. You've obviously got a lot of project management skills. So
I play off 3 point something. I don't play much golf these days. To be honest, I'm a little bit of a golfing snob. I either play very casually and loosely with friends and don't concentrate too much,
mm-hmm.
or I'm destination golfing in other parts of the world or in some of the best places in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
where I focus and play a lot better. I went to Waikato University a long time ago and studied human resource management and didn't like it. Don't like working inside. Need to see a physical outcome at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So did horticulture and greenkeeping qualifications. And I've been a greenkeeper and golf course superintendent in places, you know, from Hamilton to Rustley in Christchurch to Tauranga Golf Club to Royal Auckland Golf Club to the course manager at the Hills in Arrowtown, and then the general manager at the Hills Golf Club as well prior to taking on this role. So I've done a bit of construction work. I've managed a lot of grass and grown a lot of grass in different climates and things. And I'm a pretty organized person and pretty quick on my feet with controlling different things, heading in different directions and dealing with detail, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's the trickiest part of this? You know, you're starting from scratch because there's early days in this show, but of the interviews I've done so far, you know, people who are working on or involved with, you know, very long-standing local clubs, but here's like a start from scratch. I mean, what were the scariest bits of pulling that off?
You place a lot of faith in your golf course designer to get the routing across that piece of land right.
Mm.
And our designer is an Australian called Darius Oliver, and he is incredibly clever at situating holes on a piece of land. So that's a big part of the challenge, is getting that right up front. The biggest challenge through this process has been compliance. Mm-hmm. It's probably a broad way of putting it.
Mm, right.
It seems like the public entities that we deal with are not particularly interested in being helpful to get projects over the line. And I don't think that's an individual thing. I think it's a structural thing. And the foibles and pitfalls in the RMA at the moment are very problematic for projects and getting those over the line. I could wax lyrical for a long, long time about this, but there's some scabs that we don't need to pick off.
Exactly. We want to be positive. And obviously you are getting there.
We are very much getting there.
Yeah. Good.
We have a construction pre-start meeting this Friday.
Great.
Which effectively means that we can start proper earthworks, mm-hmm. bulk earthworks, next Monday.
Right. So what's the sort of a month and a calendar year that you think you'll be having the first proper tee off for your first round? Have you got a goal?
I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I wish to share it. We're looking about 3 years from now. So there's bulk earthworks for roading and clubhouse platform. Mm. And then there's the methodology that you go through to construct a golf course, from irrigation, starting, shaping, grass seed, growing, etc. And then there's about a 9-month period at the end of that where the grass just has to establish before you can actually play it. So from having water pumping out of the ground, which requires electricity, among other things, getting that on site. So from having water pumping out of the ground, we're looking at a 21 to 24 month construction program to the point where the grass seeds out of the ground. And then that window to grow fescue in especially, which is a bit slower than other grasses.
Right.
To get it to the point where it can handle golf traffic.
Yeah. But then you've got what kind of grass will be on the greens?
That's fescue as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So much like Tarariti and Te Arai up north of Auckland, they're wall-to-wall fescue as well. Right. So
I recently played on a course at Noosa and found the the greens were like sliding. It was like ice skating kind of. But what kind of grass would that have been? Would that have been a fescue?
That would be Bermuda grass, dwarf Bermuda grass or cooch, as you might call it in New Zealand.
I think that would be
around that area. So, and because in that climate it's still cool in winter, so it would be semi-dormant. And when it goes dormant, it gets very, very fast in those Queensland courses.
It wasn't me, it was the grass.
There's definitely an arms race in golf in some sectors where it's who can create the fastest surfaces.
Yeah, well, I tell you, there's, you know, you're on Aussie golf course when you hear somebody back in the club room go, oh, now there's a dead kangaroo on hole number. You go, oh, yeah, only an Aussie. So well done for, you know, staying the course, and you've got a lot of work ahead of you. So you, for your golf, just wondering, like, if you could have a round of golf with anybody, and not that I can organise this, but if you could have a round with anybody, who would it be and where would you want to play that round?
Do you mean professional golfers?
Sure. Or, oh, well, no, I mean, no, no. Just who would you want to play a round with? Who's maybe a really good golfer?
Ooh, that's such a tough question for me to answer.
Yeah, they can't hear you right now.
No, they definitely can't hear me right now. I think someone who's recently broken through on the US tour, where winning the tour championship, is Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things we have at Douglas, and I don't know if I can say this, is a no dickhead policy.
Yeah.
And Tommy Fleetwood, I think, is the epitome of that. Yeah. He's been through a lot of struggles.
Oh.
He's a great bloke that everyone really likes. Yeah. He sort of, he tells it like it is. He doesn't give you cookie cutter traditional golf pro answers.
Really, yeah.
You know, he exposes the facts that he's a little bit flawed, but he's also a great bloke and, you know, has taken the lessons of family and friends into his game. So, and he's an amazing ball striker, an amazing player. Yeah. And he's very free and open with the information he gives. So I think he'd be a great person to play golf with because you know you'd have a good time.
Yeah.
You know he'd talk to you about all sorts of things about life and not just golf.
Yes.
You know he's got personality and a sense of humour. And you know he's going to give you some great golfing tips as well.
Yes. So, and where would you guys like to go play?
Well, I have a number of favourite golf courses in the world. I think my favourite place I've ever been to is Cypress Point.
Right. So, what state in the US?
It's just out of San Francisco on the Monterey Peninsula.
Right.
So it's an extremely private club near Pebble Beach in that area.
Yep.
And it's a Mackenzie design, and it is just exceptional. So it's got almost undoubtedly the best three-hole stretch of golf in the world on holes 15, 16, and 17 there. So it's just a stunning place.
I'll Google it. Well, let's all Google it and just have, because they're all so beautiful, aren't they?
Yes, and I'm not one for the highly manicured water it and stripe it type golf courses. So I'm very much enamoured by the stuff you see in Scotland and Ireland, the more traditional stuff, and even some of the crazy, quirky stuff that you see overseas where the golf courses are not long, where there's random bounces and stone walls and just oddity hidden there.
Hmm.
But there's also a huge amount of strategic challenge, and when the wind blows, you've got to have your wits about you to find your way around there.
Yeah, and then that's all the more satisfying when you pull it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I did what I was planning.
Yeah, well, the thing about golf for me is it's not about trying to be mechanical and trying to hit the middle of the fairway in the middle of the green. Foolhardiness is part of my game, where if there's a 1 in 10 chance that I can pull a shot off, I'm going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a gap in the trees that's 100 metres ahead and I think I can do it, I get more joy in hitting the ball through that gap. Yeah. The upside of that for me is far greater than taking the safe option and pulling the safe option off. Put me on a really good golf course where I'm focusing, I'll do the sensible thing, but day to day it's not my natural game.
Yeah, I tend to, if I, you know, go off a little bit, like when I'm playing at Waikanae and you've got the one, two, the third there, and I tend to go off to the right into those Pohutukawas and I go, nah, I'm just going to carve it through. Carve it through. And it often comes off.
Yeah.
So if I were, you know, in time when your course is done, what will be, do you reckon, my most a smart club to have in the bag?
I think, given the wind on this coast, I mean, the best shot you're going to be able to learn to hit is one that stays below the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you use to do that. I think for better players, being able to hit a 2-iron very well is going to be advantageous.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I was playing the other day with a chap and he was using, because he wanted to keep it low, a 4-iron. So, it was, yeah.
Yeah, and this is largely going to be golf on the ground.
Mm.
So you use what you need to do to get it to the putting surface. So the golfer's darts thing that we often see, where you take and fly the ball all the way in, is not what we're going for.
Right. Good.
So you'll be able to, if you could be 60 or 70 metres off the front of the green and just bump a 6 or 7 iron along the ground and bounce it, let it follow the contours. So one of the things that the designer and our owner and I share is this view that golf on the ground is, and links golf, is the best type of golf. It's almost like the longer a ball is in motion and you're watching it, the more fun it is to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Because especially with the rolling with the contours and stuff, it's like, ooh, all sorts of things could happen. And then they dart off somewhere unexpectedly, but hopefully forward. It's great. Yeah. Oh, this has been brilliant. Is anything else you want to like mention about, like, is there a website yet, or when, if people are kind of wanting to keep a track of things, will that be coming on board down
that,
the track?
That stuff will be coming on board down the track. It's being developed and is nearing completion at the moment with that sort of thing. So there will be an Instagram page, et cetera, so that people can just see what's going on. And it's important that people see what's happening out there, because it's a site that no one really has access to. No one really knows what's in there and what it's going to look like. I mean, part of our project is consent requirements and stuff that we offered is we've got over 6 hectares of coastal margin and river margin that we're going to maintain in perpetuity. So we're hoping to set an exemplar for this coast in terms of environmental management and removal of pests and both flora and fauna.
Yes.
So it'll be pretty amazing for that stretch of coastline when we get to that point.
Yeah. Oh, well, I applaud that. And also, you know, there's so much that goes into all the planting and care of it that you absolutely want to be managing the predators and all the pests and stuff. So that's brilliant. Really wonderful for you to share everything today. Thank you. Because, you know, we can be looking forward to, we've got some great courses, but we know new ones coming on in our own sort of local hood. So that's very exciting. So wishing you all the best for just this, keeping up this momentum. What a long-term project, but a really exciting thing to be contributing to and leading. So good luck for all that. Keep us posted too. And perhaps, you know, when, particularly if you've got some points where you've got some information site, you know, the website or the Instagram, whatever, share it back to the radio so we can share that with our listeners. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for your time today, Penny.
Oh, thank you. I just can't wait to play there. And hopefully I'll be, you know, well improved by then and play some links to get a bit of experience and work on that 4-iron. I'll be ready. I'll be ready.
Well, golf has long been defined as a good walk spoiled.
Yes.
So when you get out there on that landscape and on that site, how the golf goes is just not going to matter. It's the people you're with and embracing where you are and just being grateful, really, for getting the opportunity to be somewhere is amazing.
I know. And the company is great. Or sometimes if it's just on your own, maybe that's just what you need to.
But yeah. I mean, there's a fantastic history along this coast.
Yeah.
For many hundreds of years, and there's been friction and fraction, et cetera, all the way along this coast. But their history is an integral part of the land, and respecting that when you're out there is something that we're hoping people will do as well.
Mm. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you very much. Good to spend time talking about the golf course today, Brendan. So thank you. And thank you to the listeners for listening to another episode of Let's Talk Golf.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.